Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are the one who strengthens us and redeems us. Amen. There's an old humorous piece which you've all probably heard about a church wanting to attract members. People who don't ordinarily come to church. And they had what was called No Excuse Sunday. Cots will be placed in the foyer for those who say, Sunday is my only day to sleep in. There will be a special section with lounge chairs for those who feel that our pews are too hard. Eye drops will be available for those with tired eyes from watching TV late at night. We will have steel helmets for those who say the roof would cave in if I ever came to church. Blankets will be furnished for those who say the church is too cold, and fans for those who say it's too hot. Scorecards will be available for those who wish to keep a list of the hypocrites present. Relatives and friends will be in attendance for those who can't go to church and cook dinner too. We will distribute stamp out stewardship buttons for those who feel that the church is always asking for money. One section will be devoted to trees and grass for those who like to seek God in nature. Doctors and nurses will be in attendance for those who plan to be sick on Sunday. The sanctuary will be decorated with both Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who have never seen the church without them. We will provide hearing aids for those who can't hear the preacher and cotton wool for those who think he's too loud. It's a funny take on excuses that people give for not going to church. I also have thought of one other one. There will be washers and dryers for those who say that they can only get their laundry done on Sunday. And one wonders, though, if you were able to take away all of those excuses, somehow provide, would people still come to church? Would our churches be able to rebuild a place in our society? And I think that's a question all of people in the church today are asking. Because certainly, our society doesn't look at churches the way it did half a century ago. A rebuilding of churches is needed today. In fact, our church is going through that process right now with the Myersville Presbyterian Church to rebuild our two churches into something for the future present of Presbyterians in Long Hill Township. And I thought of that because I think our passage from Haggai gives us some important advice in that process. But let's get a sense of where we are, what's the situation that Haggai is writing in, the context. King Cyrus of Persia, sometime before, had defeated the Babylonians and allowed the Judeans to go home. Now, not all of them went home. A bunch of them stayed because they figured life was going to be better in Babylon, where they made a life for themselves, rather than going back and starting over again in Judea. Everything back home was broken, destroyed. And those who went back spent a lot of time and energy and anxiety to try to scrape out some sort of living in those conditions, trying to make their lives sustainable again. And so now we come to Cyrus's grandson, King Darius. And King Darius, I think for reasons of keeping the peace and having friends on his borders, tells Zechariah and Joshua to rebuild the temple. figuring that that would create this sense of peace. But Zerubbabel and Zechariah and Joshua did not do it. Because they figured that the people were too stressed to take on another building project. They were still trying to get their lives back together. And there's evidence that some work had been done on rebuilding a temple, but it wasn't finished, near finished. And it just sat there. And for those who remembered the glory of Solomon's temple, the paltry little work that had been done must have been very demoralizing. Stan Duncan, in a blog entitled How to Build a Temple, writes, "When Haggai took God's message to Zechariah and Joshua, they were resistant. God says of them, 'These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house.' But God speaking to them through Haggai is not above doing a little shaming. 'Is it a time for you yourselves to live in paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? And using a few threats, the heavens above you have withheld the dew and the earth has withheld its produce. And I have called for a drought on the hills and the land. And their spirits were stirred up, and they went to work. They came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts,'" there's God, "15 on the 24th day of the month in the sixth month in 353 BCE. It was finished. But this now finished temple had nowhere near the glory of Solomon's temple. The second temple, which is also not the temple of Jesus' day, because Herod the Great built that temple. This second temple was built without the funds or the skilled laborers that the first and the third had available to them. And in Ezra chapter 3, we hear the people's response to this second temple. "But many of the priests and Levites and head of families and old people who had seen the first house on its foundations wept with a loud voice when they saw this house. So many shouted for joy so that the people could not distinguish between the joyful shouts or the sound of people's weeping. For the people shouted so loudly that sound was heard far away." Can't you just imagine these people who had known the old temple? It's not the same. It's not as big. It's not as glorious. The old temple was much better. And it is this group of people that Haggai is preaching to. We hear his words. "Who is left among you that saw the house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Is it not in your sight as of nothing? Yet now take courage, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Take courage, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Take courage, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. According to the promise that I made you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit abides among you. Do not fear." God is saying to the ones who are demoralized, the ones who are ashamed, "Big things will come. I'm with you. Even though this is not as big and glorious and wonderful as Solomon's temple, I'm still with you. I can bring big things from small beginnings. The people can have hope because God is with them. God's not ashamed of their meager beginning. God can work with it. God can work through it." I think it's no secret that we live in a time where we think big and glorious is best. We hear today of mega churches with worship services with thousands of people attending. And let us recall that the Christian faith started in homes and underground burial areas known as catacombs. Let us remember that Jesus started his ministry with just 12 people and did not have a church or temple to his name, although he did use synagogues at times. As we continue our process of envisioning the future of our church in the Myersville Church, we have to trust that God will be with us. Whatever comes out of our deliberations together with each other and with God. As Haggai promised that God would be present in the ministry of this smaller, not near as spectacular temple that the people have built, God will be present with us. It will likely be very different, but it will be Spirit-filled. There's a wonderful story that I think kind of outlines this. Following World War II, some German students volunteered to help rebuild a cathedral in England that had been badly damaged by the Luftwaffe bombings. As the work progressed, they weren't sure how to best restore a large statue of Jesus with his arms outstretched, bearing the familiar inscription, "Come unto me." They were able to repair all the damage to the statue except for Christ's hands, which had been totally destroyed. Should they even attempt to rebuild these, they wondered? Anybody who's done any carving knows that hands are very difficult. And finally, the workers reached a decision that still stands today. They decide to leave the hands off and change the inscription to read, "Christ has no hands but ours." Whatever we do to rebuild our ministry in Long Hill Township, God will work and can only work through our hands, our spirits, to make it happen. Will it be different? Probably. However, think about it. Anytime you rebuild something, it's different. Because anytime you rebuild something, it's a transition. A transition from what was to what will be. It's a transition in our hope that will be wonderful to something wonderful. Not a transition to a death. Not a transition back to what was. But something different, something better. God is with us, and God will be with us. Amen.